Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. I want to play some audio for you. This audio comes courtesy of KCUR. Certainly want to give them their credit for the interview. They got Brian Platt. He is the city manager for Kansas City, Missouri. And here's what he said. He said that the Royals and the Chiefs, they have had contact with the city.
Look, this city is committed to keeping the Chiefs and Royals here for generations to come, and we've had very productive conversations behind the scenes to make sure that we're doing that. The mayor and council members and others have had great conversations, very positive conversations, to try and figure out what to do next and to learn from the mistakes and to grow from that point and see what we can do to make this work.
Brian also goes on to say that the city is going to be taking the lead over Jackson County government.
You know, I think what we're going to do is a lot of research and thinking and reflecting on the things that were missed, and we will help them in that. We were largely on the sidelines on the city side for a lot of this, and we are going to take a much more active and proactive role in making sure that whatever comes next, we are a big part of it and that we're listening to all the voices that need to be heard.
I think we have heard from enough people on this issue to at least be able to say that if this thing is going to be done on the Missouri side and at least involving Kansas City, Missouri, and or Jackson County, Frank White will not be a part of it. I think we know that. Now, I do not claim to know all of the inner workings or everything that is going on behind the scenes, but we've talked to enough people on the air. Rob, you and I both have talked to enough people about this off the air. No one is real happy with Frank White in these negotiations. Not the teams, not the voters. No one seems really thrilled about his involvement. And if they are not going to lose their teams to Kansas, which is a realistic possibility, both the Royals and the Chiefs, I think we all know that Kansas is a very viable option. You are not going to do this by way of Jackson County. Now, I'm not going to make it seem like the city had no part in what happened the last time. They obviously did. But I do think that this was a conversation that was largely spearheaded by Jackson County. I also think that it heavily involved Frank White. Rob, you can pull the audio. We had the mayor here on the show the day after the vote failed. And he says, I don't think that Frank White can be part of the negotiations going forward. So if you want to keep the teams and you don't want to be known as the mayor that lost the Royals to Wyandotte County, it might be in your best interest to be a little bit more proactive and at the forefront of this conversation over your final 3 years in office. And if you were going to leave that thing solely to Jackson County and solely to Frank White, I am telling you that they are about to mess that thing up. They are already messing it up. They have messed it up so far. They messed it up so bad, they got smoked in the last voting. I would just try to leave them out of it if possible. It might be a little bit more work, but we are talking about a generational decision. And everybody seems to be on the side, whether it is the teams, whether it is the city. This person is a roadblock to getting this done. So let's just remove the roadblock and let's just not involve that person. Have you guys ever been in a situation where there was just an unnecessary middleman and things just would have been better if A and B had communicated, but then C got involved and then D got involved and then you were playing some big game of telephone and it ended up being more strife than it needed to be than if parties A and party B had just worked this out directly? That's what I am telling the Chiefs and the Royals to do if their goal is to stay in Kansas City. I believe that is the goal for the Royals. I don't know if that's the goal for the Kansas City Chiefs. Speaking of the Royals, here's Brian Platt. He is the city manager for Kansas City. He was on KCUR earlier today, and he said that he still believes that the Crossroads is the best location for the Royals.
Well, look, there's pluses and minuses to every location. There are a lot of reasons why the downtown KC Star building is a great location. There are a lot of reasons why other locations could work as well. But I'll say from the urbanist perspective of if you're building a stadium and you think about the things that you need around it. Hotels, bars and restaurants, transit. That location has it all built already. You've got a streetcar that is a block away, hotels that are within walking distance. All of our parking that we built for T-Mobile in the Power and Light District is already there. So there's a minimal amount of other assets that you need to build and construct to support that stadium. Other locations around even the entire region don't have all those assets in place.
I'm going to tell you this, and this is just free Carrington and Drive advice. I thought the people of Jackson County were pretty emphatic on we don't want the stadium to be here. But if you guys want the stadium there, I am telling you that your plan has to be way more rock solid than it was. And I'm telling you that you guys were making alterations daily on that plan. You need to have a parking plan in place, and the parking plan can't just be vibes. That's what it was the last time. I know, because I've heard almost everybody from the Royals peddle that same stat. Oh, there's X number of available parking spaces. It'll be fine. The people have told you, we don't trust you. We do not believe you. I would communicate a parking plan to the people. I would do a better job of communicating how you plan on helping the small businesses who could possibly be impacted by you moving into their community. These are things you did not do the last time, and you were trying to do while running a campaign. I would maybe have these deals together when you make an announcement. I would maybe try to not have a deal that's in place at 1:30 and the polls close at 7. All of it seemed like you were trying to do your homework on the bus on the way to school. And then you got an F, and then you're mad at the teacher for failing you. No, you should have done your homework the night before. This is a you problem. But no, you chose to play Fortnite and video games, and that's how you got an F. Last thing here I want to play for you guys from Brian Platt. He is the city manager of Kansas City. He was on KCUR. Is he said that this thing might not need to go back to a vote.
Can't say at this point if there's going to be a vote at all, and if there was going to be a vote, when it would be. But I think just the focus right now is to make sure we've got the right plan and that the right people are engaged and that we're hearing all of the challenges that people face and trying to solve them. At the end of the day, this is like any development project. And what has to happen is the developers, in this case the Royals, need to make sure that they're working with the communities, that they're impacting and supporting all of our communities and neighborhoods across Kansas City in the best way possible.
I don't want to spend too much more time on this because we will be talking about this for years to come. That last part that he said, the Royals, you guys didn't do a good job of this. We need to make sure that we are engaging and connecting with the community. You did not do that the last time. The voting public told you you didn't do a good job of that the last time. I think it is very safe to say that a downtown stadium is John Sherman's dream. You're the owner. I'm fine if they don't put the stadium downtown. I'm fine. We had our shot. I think we possibly missed the window. Maybe they should have done this before they started building one light, two light, three light, green light. Maybe they should have done this when David Glass bought the team in the early 2000s and it was nothing really in downtown Kansas City. They had a vote. The vote got smoked. Maybe a downtown stadium is just not in the cards for the Kansas City Royals. That's okay. But if that's your dream and you're John Sherman and you're the billionaire, I'm telling you that you need to study what you did wrong, just like any business. Study what you did wrong in the market. Come up with a different plan of how to re-engage those same consumers, because these are the same people that you still need their support. And you saw what happened when you tried to do it without their support. You blew $6 million. Just threw it away. Lit it on fire. The other side didn't have nearly the amount of resources, nearly the amount of pull and force, and beat you in every single district. I know that some of you think that this was just one or two community groups. The Royals and Chiefs lost in every district in Jackson County. That ain't just one group getting their message out there. It was the people unanimously telling you your plan was bad. You failed. What are you going to do to come back, and what are you going to do to get this thing across and scratch a couple of runs across, to use a baseball analogy? We'll get to the on-the-field product. We'll talk about the Royals coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DePasquale Moore. Car wreck? Get the money you deserve. Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your home for Chiefs football in Kansas City is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Tuesday. Rob, let me ask you this question. Do you think it would be fun to be a White Sox fan? I'm not just talking about this one individual year. I mean, they're bad. I'm imagining that it is not a lot of fun to be a White Sox fan right now. You can go to the game today for $2. I'm not joking. I am on StubHub right now. The get-in price is $2 today for a Major League Baseball game in one of the five largest cities in America. So obviously, demand very, very low. So I'm not talking about this year. What I'm talking about is, do you think it'll be fun to be a White Sox fan? Because let's say that you go out of town somewhere, right? Let's say you were in a real touristy place. Let's say you're in Las Vegas. And you're sitting next to somebody and you're playing blackjack with this person. And they ask you, hey, where are you from? And you say, I'm from Chicago. And he's like, you're a baseball fan? And you're like, yeah. What's the team you're going to ask? Hey, are you a Cubs fan? Nobody is asking you, are you a White Sox fan? Nobody is casually a White Sox fan. You grew up in that area. And I mean, like, directly around the stadium. Because if you grew up anywhere else in Chicago, you would not just, that's not the team you would choose to cheer for, right? That's not the team you would pick. Nobody casually chooses to cheer for the Mets. You're a Yankees fan. You like baseball in New York. You're neutral. Why would I choose the Mets? I grew up in the Derek Jeter era. That's the team I'm cheering for. Do you think it's cool to be a White Sox fan? You don't have the cool stadium. You don't have any of the things that the Cubs have. You're a second-rate team in your own town. It doesn't seem fun.
I would agree. I bet it's very unfun. However, I will say, we do the show every day, Carrington, and when we leave with the Royals, what's the rule? We do a random Royals lineup. More times than not, I pick a random Royals lineup from a not great time in Royals history. Yeah, there are some 13s, 14s, 15s, you know, 85 sprinkled in there. But more times than not, when the random Royals lineup music plays, it's from 99 or 2006 or 2019. And me and you, we laugh and we have a good time talking about, man, those bad teams. That was fun. So I don't know that Royals fans can look down their nose at White Sox fans because of the on-the-field product. I think the stadium for Kansas City is better than Chicago, and I think the Royals are not second fiddle to another baseball team in their own town. But I don't know you can say, man, I loved the Ken Harvey days, and then turn around and say, boy, being a White Sox fan would suck.
Okay, but at least you know a passionate Royals fan. The Royals have like a real fan base. Do the White Sox have a real fan base? You have never met a White Sox fan. You know Cubs fans. You don't know a White Sox fan. Not a single one. I'm sure they exist. I'm certain they do. I mean, somebody is going to the games. You don't matter in your own city. You don't matter. The White Sox are what, the fifth most popular team in their own city?
Are you sure they're not sixth?
They might be.
Like, if we go through real quick, the Cubs.
Honestly, some of these games that they get, their WNBA team is going to outdraw them. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. This year, their WNBA team is going to do better than one of these White Sox games over the course of the season. Rob, they've played 16 games. They've lost 14 of them. They have been shut out in six of the 16 games that they have played. Their team is terrible. You know what I'm not doing on a nice Chicago night? I'm not going to Comiskey Park or Old Cellular or whatever the hell they call that venue. It stinks anyway. It'd be one thing if it was the Cubs. How many times have you been to Chicago? Have you ever thought about going to a White Sox game? I've been to Wrigley six times. I don't even know where the White Sox stadium is. I've never seen it before. I'm not going over there. What? What's over there? It doesn't sound like it's a lot of fun to be a White Sox fan. It really doesn't.
Let me ask you a question, and the text line brought this up. If you were to say, hey, the equivalent part of town that the White Sox is in is blank for the Kansas City metro area, what's the blank?
I mean, the East Village, probably. Probably where they want to put the stadium. That's probably the answer. The Royals want to put their stadium where the White Sox stadium is.
John Sherman saw Comiskey and went, yep, yeah, that's the vision.
He wants his own... He wants his own Comiskey Park. Yeah, that's what he wants. I'm just saying, it doesn't sound very fun. Someone said, is there even a two-team situation anywhere that's close to even? Yeah, probably the Jets and Giants is the only one that's close. The other ones, it is not close. It is not close in Los Angeles with any of their teams. No one is a Clippers fan. But Billy Crystal, no one cheers for the Clippers. No one is an Angels fan. No one likes the Chargers. Maybe the Jets and the Giants are the only two that's close. I'm trying to think of the other two cities that would even be close. That's it, though.
Yeah, those are the only ones I can think of that are two sport towns. Yeah, there's always a clear-cut, oh, that's the team.
I mean, they also could. I mean, there's some versions of KCK that are probably comparable to where the White Sox stadium are. If we're like looking for what the equivalent would be. There's definitely some areas that they were like, hey, you know, we're going to move the stadium. That's where we're going to put the stadium at. Like, I don't know why I would build a stadium here. This doesn't seem like a very fun place for the stadium to be.
I mean, maybe this is the Royals fan you're showing, but is the most iconic moment at that stadium's history? When those two fans jumped over the side of the field.
No, they won a World Series. Let's not do that. They did have Big Paul Konerko.
Can you name a third player on that team? Konerko, blank, and blank.
Frank Thomas. Was Frank he on that team? Frank the Thomas Big Hurt?
He was gone by then.
He was gone?
So blank and blank.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I was going to say Burley's won. Burley was there forever.
I don't know if I can tell you three players on the team that won the World Series last year. That's not a good indication. It's not a good indicator of if that team was good or not. I'm not the judge of those things. I'm not the judge of those things at all. Denny Matthews was on the show yesterday. This is what he said about this year's version of the White Sox. They're terrible.
Against the White Sox and the way they've started and the way they played here, win three games, period. And anything less would not be good. Now, it's a major league team, barely. I'm not trying to defame the White Sox. They play hard, I guess, but they've got nothing going. So if you don't win three games in there, well, I think you're not going to feel real good about it. Chances are maybe you win two out of three if they play really well in one of those games. Baseball, you know that. Hey, Chicago could win three games. What are the odds? Well, not very likely, let's put it that way. But Yeah, if you don't win three there, the way they've started and the way they're playing, it's a disappointment.
Rob, you said it earlier. For Denny Matthews, who has spent – Denny Matthews has spent his adult life watching Royals baseball. For him to look at your baseball team and say that you're kind of a major league team, it should make you just want to just find a new profession. If there's anybody that would know about 4A baseball, it's Denny Matthews. He has spent a lot of time in ballparks watching 4A bad baseball. He can identify it. He just described the White Sox like they were the 2007 Royals and didn't blink about it. They're a big league team, barely. I guess it's hard to argue based on what they've been so far this season.
I mean, he literally said, I don't mean to run down the White Sox. You called them barely a professional team. And then he said, you know, they're probably trying. Probably trying is the nicest thing we can say. That's Denny, I love you, but you did run the White Sox down.
No,
come
you
on
did
now.
Deservedly. They're not good. They stink. They stink. If you're as bad as the White Sox are, it's either one of two things. Either you are incompetent at almost every single turn, or you are purposely trying to be that bad. There's no in the middle. Not when you've played 16 games and you've only won two of them. Rob, they're 9 games out of first place. We've played 3 weeks of baseball. How are you 9 games out already? How are you 9? You know how bad you got to be that far out of first? You never even got going. I'm looking at the trees. They're not even in full bloom yet. You're already eliminated from the baseball season. You have no reason to go out to the park. They got Buck Night in Chicago. They got Dollar Dogs. What's their promotions?
Please come see us.
Yeah, well, what's their promotions? Because I already know that other baseball team, that stadium stays packed. People come from around the world to go see where the other baseball team plays. Nobody is coming in from out of town to watch you play. Nobody. Not a single soul.
I'm looking up their giveaways. They have something called $5 Tuesdays.
Oh, everybody's got a $5 Tuesdays. The Royals got a $5 Tuesday.
$5 Tuesday is just cheap tickets. All right, there you go. That's something.
That's today. That's today. That's why the tickets were $2 on StubHub.
They got Coke Zero Sundays. What's, that's a good one.
That must be like the Hy-Vee where you can get like 3 tickets, 3 dogs.
That's why.
And a drink for $57.
They got Southside Mondays, which is a special ticket offer. Let's see what Southside Mondays are. Oh, if you go to every Monday home game, the White Sox will rep a special Southside jersey, and you get a $20 concession credit. Well, all right. Special jerseys and a credit. Who could say no to that?
I don't know how you could. I don't know how you could pass a credit. That one credit is going to get you half a hot dog.
And they have a WWE night, so the first 1,500 fans.
We need to have more of those kind of nights. Why don't the Royals get a WWE night? They can have a John Cena night.
They start their post-game fireworks on May 10th. That's...
You just start that immediately. They just start that tonight. They have fireworks at the end of every baseball game. Hey, stay around. They start having concerts. Remember when the Royals had that like 90s concert after the game? They should have done that every Saturday for a while. It got me out every Saturday. Oh, wait, hold on. You got New Kids on the Block? Hey, I'm here today. Sign me up for this game. Can I ask you a question, Rob? I don't know the answer to this. Text line might kill me for this. I don't know the answer to this. How is Angel Hernandez still employed as a major league umpire? Like, is there some kind of story or something that I'm missing? Because I say it all the time. It's hard to get everybody on the same side, right? Hard to get everybody on the same side. Everybody that watches baseball acknowledges that he's not good at being an umpire. Yet he's been an umpire, Rob, since you and I were in elementary school. How is this the case? They can't fire him, but he has some kind of dirt on Rob Manfred, and they can't get rid of him? So you're telling me, of all the human beings in the world, Angel Hernandez has the number one job security. What do we got to do to get him out of here? Do we just got to walk around him, and we just got to record him in his most secret moments and then leak some audio to TMZ of him saying something inappropriate? How do we get Angel Hernandez out of here?
Let me ask your question. I'll ask you a question back. How is Ted Valentine, the college basketball official, still employed? how was John Higgins employed for as long as he was in college basketball as an official? I feel like there's some job security because the job no one wants. Now, Angel Hernandez is hated by literally everyone.
Nobody likes him.
Like, I can't, players don't even speak highly of him. It's not like, oh, behind closed doors, Angel does this, that, or the other. Well, nope, he's horrible. But we all know bad officials in all sports. What's the name of the one in the NFL where fans hate, Chiefs fans hate him when they get him? Oh, they're just red hot.
Oh, Carl Sheffers.
How is he still employed? It's the same question. It just seems like there's good job security in doing a job no one wants.
Okay, hold on. So somebody on the text line said this. I don't know this. I'm telling you what the text line said. Angel Hernandez said that he was denied for a head umpire spot because of his race. Someone said he already sued Major League Baseball once for discrimination when they didn't put him in the playoffs. Now, I am not here to say that discrimination doesn't happen. It obviously happens. People are denied because of their race all the time in this country. I mean, whenever he sued you, you couldn't just like hand the judge a videotape of him being an official and be like, come on now. I mean, we didn't hate on Angel Hernandez because of his race. We hate on him because he's bad. Look at this. So there's this TikTok account. I got to find the name of it. And they just like go through bad calls and like how far off the plate the call was. And they just had an Angel Hernandez mixtape. Like when they start making mixtapes, of how bad you are as an official, it might be time for you to find a new profession. I just want to know how we have managed to fire. Everybody gets fired. Can you imagine if I had told you back in 2015? I'm serious. If I had told you in 2015, hey, the Royals are going to fire Dayton Moore one day, you would have told me I was crazy. You would have told me there's no chance that this person gets fired. Did you know that the Patriots let Tom Brady be a free agent? Of course, you can leave whenever you want to leave. We'll never let you go, Tom. You're telling me of all the people in the world, Angel Hernandez is number one for job security. He has the most job security of any person in the world. Doesn't make sense.
It makes literally no sense. I don't know. I wish I had an answer. I mean, I guess I presume he's a member of the umpire
Bulls,
union.
The Bulls fired Phil Jackson. They let Phil Jackson go. We can't let Angel Hernandez go. He just gets to call baseball games until the end of time. Until Jesus comes back, that's how long he can call games for? That doesn't seem right. I'm pushing back on that. Can we start a petition to get Angel Hernandez out of here? No one seems to like him. I mean, there has to be something we can do.
There's no way that position doesn't already exist. There's no way you were the first one.
Let's work together to sign it. They don't like him anywhere. Not behind the plate. You can't do first base, second base. We just don't like you. I'm telling you, Rob, I watched a countdown this morning of his most badly missed calls. I just don't know why we can't get him out of here. Tim Kirchen was on Fesco in the morning earlier today. Tim Kirchen, he is a Royals believer.
This is, we all know, a weak division, a winnable division. But you look at everyone else around him, why can't they stay in this a long time, especially with the start they're off to? I mean, they've outscored their opponents by 39 runs already, and their ERA, as you guys know, is 2.86. It's the third best in Major League Baseball. The Royals have 3 shutouts already. They had 6 shutouts all last season. So the improvement is enormous. It's obvious, and I think it's already time to start taking the Royals seriously as a contender in this division, and I'm not sure a whole lot of people saw that coming even 3 weeks ago.
The pathway for the Royals is actually very, very simple. Like, it can't be more simple. If you're the Royals, I would say just keep doing what you are doing. The Royals are 6-6 against 28 other baseball teams. They are 6-6. They have been average against the other teams. You know what they are. They are 5-0 against the White Sox. If the Royals continue to do that this season, they have a realistic chance of making the postseason. You play a lot of games against that team in your division. That's how you can make the playoffs. If you want to know the pathway, can the Royals be one game over 500, maybe two games over 500 against everybody else in baseball? And can they be 12 games over 500 against the White Sox? And if you can do that, Rob, and I know that's a lofty goal, you got a chance of making the postseason, and you probably win your division. That's all you got to do. That's the pathway for them to do it.
I agree, first and foremost. And it's weird to say this because I know that, you know, the text line's weird at the Royals. They either A, hold them to way too high of a standard, or B, get, you know, way too excited about small things. But if the Royals can just be what last year's what was this NFC South champ Tampa Bay Buccaneers are, that would be a great thing for this city. No one looks back outside of Tampa Bay at the 2023 Tampa Bay Buccaneers and go, wow, what a great season. They were what, 500, maybe 9-8, and they hosted a playoff game against the Eagles and they won, and then the season was over. Done. That is the Royals' path. Your division is going to play down. No Shane Bieber for the Guardians. The Twins have not come out of the gate hot despite them being good last year. If you can just hang around, get a few wins against those teams, and then when the riffraff comes in, take care of the riffraff. Go thump the A's. I know you're playing the A's at some point this season. Go get them. They're very gettable at all times. You're handling business with the White Sox. The Tigers are mediocre. I'm not saying you go undefeated against these teams, but get those wins. And yeah, when the Yankees come to town, or the Rays come to town, or the Rangers show up, I'm not saying, hey, you got to take 4 of 5, or hey, this is a great opportunity to take 2 of 3. The Rangers are in town. Those aren't your moments. But if you can be the 84-win team that makes the playoffs, it doesn't matter how Seattle views you. What matters is you're in the dance, and that's your path. Be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of baseball.
Someone on the text line says the problem is that the rest of the division, they're also going to be 12 games over 500 against the White Sox. You're right. I mean, the team that does the worst against the White Sox is eliminated. Like, if you don't feast on that team, then you do not have a realistic pathway. And you're right. I mean, just based on how many games we all think the White Sox are going to win, they are 2-14 right now. I mean, the White Sox win 50 games maybe this year, 55 games. I mean, the Royals won 56 last year, and the White Sox are worse than they are. So everybody is going to beat up on the White Sox this year. I don't think the Royals are winning their division. Like, if today, I just the Guardians probably win the division. What is the pathway for the Royals to do it? I mean, that's the pathway for them to do it. Can you finish 1 or 2 games over 500 against everybody else and play and perform really well against the White Sox and then see where you are at the end of the season? That pathway, I don't know the exact math, it probably gets you like 87 wins, which is probably what you're going to need to win the division. And keeps you in contention to grab one of the wild card spots. It keeps you in the conversation to grab one of those spots. So the Royals game, their first pitch is coming up in about 2 hours. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll certainly have that for you. Vern's pregame is going to take over in an hour. We're going to hand things off to Vern a little bit earlier today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Brought to you by Deep Esquale Moore. Car, truck, or motorcycle wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
the home of the Royals, is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Rob, I have a stat for you really quickly. We're starting to talk a little bit more NFL draft. Did you know that in the last 10 years, there have been 9 tight ends who have been drafted in the first round? Did you know that none of those tight ends have been named All-Pro, and only one of them have had a 1,000-yard season? I bring that up because obviously there is a tight end who is going to be selected very high in this thing, but it does feel like every year there is the next tight end that they convince us that he is the guy. Like, some of you still love Kyle Pitts. You remember people were talking about, hey, why don't you trade Snead in a first that we can go? Some of you still love Kyle Pitts. He has not come close to them telling us what he was going to be. David Njoku is the guy. Every year, we are convinced that David Njoku is going to, oh, this is his year. Oh, he's going to have 1,100 yards. Oh, he's going to have a big season. It hasn't happened. It was okay last year. But I just thought that was interesting because I imagine, Robin, I haven't asked you this, you and I both really like Brock Bowers. I think Brock Bowers would have been a first-round pick 2 years ago in the NFL draft of what we saw at Georgia. And when he was healthy, in my opinion, he was the second-best skill position player in college football behind Marvin Harrison Jr. We're going to do that same thing, though, with Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is going to get picked by the Chargers and – oh my God, this is the best pick we have ever seen. Of course it can't fail. Kyle Pitts was discussed like he was a can't-miss prospect. He was the greatest tight end prospect that we had ever seen. He has not been anything close to that. And I like Brock Bowers. I saw this stat, and I wanted to share it with you. Just, we're going to do the same thing for another tight end prospect. In the last 10 years, 9 tight ends have been drafted in the first round. None of them have been named All-Pro. It has been one 1,000-yard season out of those 9 tight ends that have been drafted in the first round. So we have never gotten a star tight end out of all of these guys that are supposed to be that.
I mean, I agree Brock Bowers is a very good player. Before the injury last year, I thought he was still probably one of the best playmakers in college football, and that included Marvin Harrison Jr. But that stat's a little bit fun with numbers, Carrington, because we think Dalton Kincaid can be that guy. Like, I remember last year, I think I was a bigger Dalton Kincaid guy than you. But
yeah, you were coming out of the draft.
But Dalton Kincaid showed some flash last year for the Bills.
He was
good.
Right.
He wasn't a 1,000-yard guy. He wasn't the wow guy, but he also was tight end number 2 most of the season.
Dalton Kincaid had a really good rookie year. He had 73 catches for 700 yards. I mean, also, I think the difference with Dalton Kincaid is he was a late first-round pick, too. We've seen some guys. Like, you and I both think that Brock Bowers is going to be picked in the top 10. I don't know if Brock Bowers can turn out to be Dalton Kincaid and you're happy with spending the 9th overall pick on that player. The reason you and I like Dalton Kincaid is you got him with the 26th overall pick, with obviously the resource you use to acquire the player is drastically different.
All right. You said something that got me intrigued. You think Brock Bowers is a top 10 pick? I think he's a top 10 talent. I don't think he's a top 10 pick. I think he goes outside the top 10. Not because of talent. I think quarterback pushes everything back down the draft. Like, Peter Schrager, I'm not saying he's the Bible when it comes to NFL mock drafts, but he has the first 4 guys being quarterbacks, then Marvin Harrison Jr., and then the tackles start to fly off the board.
He also has Brock Bowers going 10th to the Jets in his mock draft, too.
That's the team to watch, but like, if the Jets go O-line at 10, he falls out of the top 10. I don't think it's a talent issue. I just think he's not... I don't know he's going to go top 10. I don't know he's going to get the Kyle Pitts treatment out of the draft.
Someone on the text line, CDOT, what about TJ Hawkinson? He's been pretty good as well. He's been fine. He's been a good tight end. I mean, he was fine with the Lions. I mean, he never had 800 yards receiving with the Lions, but he had a really good year this past year with the Minnesota Vikings. He also just got a lot of targets. You get 127 targets, you're going to put together a pretty good season. They didn't have Justin Jefferson for basically, 15 games last year, 16? It was a lot. He missed a whole lot of the season. He was one of their options. And also, I guess, fair to note in this conversation, kind of going along with tight ends, there's only been one of those guys that have gotten a second contract with their team either. Now, there's two guys who are to be determined. Dalton Kincaid is not eligible for a second contract. I don't know if Kyle Pitts is trending in a way that you would give him a second contract. Is he trending in a way as a guy? I mean, we're now kind of at that point with Kyle Pitts. I mean, if he's going to be a thing, he's going to be a thing this year, right? Like, he's going to be a thing this year.
I mean, I guess it defines so, really a thing.
Quick, I mean, Kyle Pitts is at the end of year three. He had a 1,000-yard season, so he's the only tight end who has been drafted in the first round the last 10 years to have a 1,000-yard season. He had one his rookie year, and he's been banged up the remainder of the season. Now, last year, he wasn't banged up. He just was not good last year. He played in 15 games and had 700 yards receiving. He just was bad last year.
I was going to say, define a thing. Because, like, if I don't know he returns to rookie year glory, but I could see him having the Dalton Kincaid season. Like, I could see him getting 800-ish yards. Like, does that count as a thing? Like, if he does that, I think 1,000 yards is kind of a pipe dream, but 750 to 800 is not impossible to believe. I think he has the athleticism for it, and he has a coach that believes in him for the first time in 4 years.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, he's not close because he plays for the Falcons. Someone else, if you put Brock Bowers with Patrick Mahomes, I bet you he's good. If your only chance of being good is you got to play with the best team in the league, then maybe you're just not that good. Like, that's kind of where I am with these guys. I just feel like we do this all the time. Like, isn't this kind of what we did with MVS? Oh, man, when you put him, like, he was still MVS. He was the same guy. I think we sort of oversell the quarterback you play with, and I think it's way more about targets than we give credit to and, like, opportunity. I mean, you remember one argument we had on the show was about Terry McLaurin. I was like, he's not a dog. Like, oh, man, Terry McLaurin's so good. Yeah, he was getting the ball thrown his way a lot. I'm not saying quarterback a situation doesn't matter. I'm obviously not saying that. I'm just saying is the reason T.J. Hockenson got really good is the most targets he ever got with the Lions was 100 targets. He then got 127 last year. He went to a team that was going to throw him the ball a whole lot more, and the numbers went up. I mean, Kyle Pitts, his rookie year, got 110 targets. If they throw it to you that much, you're going to fall into a pretty decent season. He also only had one touchdown that year. What a very weird season. He had 1,000 yards and one touchdown his rookie year.
On 110 targets?
He had 110 targets his rookie year and had one touchdown. He was the worst fantasy player ever. I know you hated Kyle Pitts that year if you drafted him in fantasy. He did you no good. As a rookie. Coming up on the other side, we'll get through the top stories of the day. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.